Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, March 6th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind, and you can do that via email. You can like this show on Facebook, you can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now at this moment on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 159 of the show. I'm flying solo, folks. I'm sitting here in my apartment. I just got home from looking for a new laptop. Because the one that I have now, it's about 4 years old, and it's on its last leg. It's just going slow. I'm getting updates. It's trying to make me, update to Windows 10. And I was talking to the homie, friend of the show, friend in real life, Christian Polanco, because he's a computer guru. And he's just like, Chris, if you try to update that, it's just going to make your computer go slower. And, so I'm trying to get a relatively decent computer without having to get a Mac, because I'm not at the Mac level yet. I'm at the level where it's like, maybe after this computer, the next one I get after this computer will be, I guess, will have to be a MacBook, or I think you get shot in the head if you don't have a MacBook at a certain point. I don't know when that happens, but I feel like that's what it's going to be, and I'm not ready for it yet. So I went to Micro Center in, Paterson, New Jersey. And first off, I missed the turn, like my GPS. And I knew this is totally my fault. It's not even my GPS's fault. I was driving, and instead of going the way that I knew to go, I went the way my GPS told me. And in New Jersey, you can't make your left hand and right hand. You can't turn anytime you want, because of the Jersey walls. And if you miss where you want to go, you have to wait 15 minutes to get back to that place, because you have to reroute yourself. So that happened to me. Finally get to the shopping center, and it's really just, there's a Lowe's with its own lot. There's the Micro Center, and then there's the Micro Center's next to a Pep Boys. And for some reason, it was just packed. The parking lot was packed. I go in there, there's a shit ton of people in there. The line is wrapped around in the store, and it's like, this is a shit show on Sunday. And it's probably because of these blue laws that New Jersey has. I've mentioned them about 3 times this year on the show, and it's just like where everything's closed except certain places. There's no clothing stores aren't open. Like department stores, like, I guess Target's not open, but for some reason Walmart is, because Walmart is also a grocery store, but then there's some Targets that are grocery stores. So I don't know how they get around it, but most of the stores are closed. Like if you wanted to go to Macy's, you couldn't go. You'd have to go to another county that's not Bergen County, or you'd have to go to New York to do your shopping. Anyway, so I go in there, it's just a shit show, and I'm looking at the computers. I see the one that I want, but I couldn't get anybody to help me. And thankfully, and that's probably a blessing in disguise, because after talking to Christian, he's like, dude, you need to spend a little more money than you need to spend $100 or $200 more, and you'll get a computer that'll last a long time. So I'm kind of glad that, thanks Micro Center in Paterson, New Jersey, for being a shit show. I can now get a better laptop. So that's why you got to have friends that know shit. You have to have people in your life that know more than you. And I would say that most of my friends are usually smarter than me. I don't know what that says about me, but maybe it says that I'm smart enough to know that I need other people around me to help me with stuff. And then I don't think I'm stupid, but you know, you gotta have a guy that knows stuff. You gotta have friends that know shit. So we're in this. We're up in this. Right now I've got SportsCenter on mute and Kobe Bryant is talking. The Lakers actually beat the Warriors. I didn't watch the game, but it looked like all the starters for both teams were on the bench, and I guess the Warriors weren't hitting as many threes as they normally hit. And so the Warriors just gave away that game. Kobe Bryant's hijacked the team. And he'll be gone. So they have no excuses. They got to get their shit together now. Peyton Manning's retiring. The homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, he's had a backhanded tweet about how, like, Peyton Manning was great. I'm paraphrasing this, but he's like, oh, Peyton Manning was great. He always played balls out. Going to his alleged sexual assault while he was at the University of Tennessee. Speaking of sports, UFC 196, you guys, I watched it. I paid for it. I was so excited about it that I fell asleep during most of the fights. I did find out that Conor McGregor lost. He lost to Nate Diaz. He talked a lot of shit that was racist to Nate Diaz, who is of Latin descent. And Nate Diaz beat the shit out of him. Popped him a few times. I think it was the second round. And then did what they call the ground and pound and just mauled him. And I guess he had to submit. And so I ended up this morning rewatching it. I ordered it on PlayStation. There's a live events app that you have to download. And I did that. And then the fight was like $40-$45. I ended up, because I was going to order it on just like pay-per-view on demand or whatever you call it on through Fios. But I think they wanted like $60 or $70. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And I just noticed that it was going to be, I just noticed it was available at the PlayStation store and it was discounted for PlayStation Plus members, which I am a part of. And because, not bragging, but they did fucking take the $50 out of my PayPal account. I looked up, I was like, we've taken 50, you've made a payment. I'm like, what did I make a payment for? So I don't know. But I did that and I watched it. It was pretty cool. It's a cool app. I see where now there's this big shift of where, like, I could see how people are cutting the cords. They're cutting the cable. Jenna was talking about that last week. And people have been kind of telling me about how they're starting to do this. Because some of these shows, you can get your news aggregated on social media. You just click on links and stuff. You can find out about the weather. You can find out about what's going on in your town. You may not be able to see it right away when you want to. But really, does that even matter? Because most of the shows that I watch, it's usually a couple days later. I very seldom watch anything live. And Pretty Little Liars, with the exception of the past couple of weeks, since this season came, this part of the season, that's the only thing I really watch live. And I haven't even been good at that this year. So, I mean, I was watching, I watched Better Call Saul yesterday. That show's so good. I mean, just Bob Odenkirk is amazing. The show, the style of the show, it's obviously similar to Breaking Bad with the style, but it's fantastic. That's the best show on TV. For my money, for my basic cable desires. It's fulfilling every need. And then this masterful, this beautiful mess, melodramatic mess of a show, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's not even a bad show, but my God, Courtney B. Vance is just, every time he's on screen as Johnny Cochran, he's amazing. He's fucking fantastic. And I like how the show kind of has this, the cold open kind of reminds me of Lost, because they show like a background, like the little backstory, and it's like, okay, so this is probably going to be Johnny Cochran's episode, and you know, it was dope. The guy playing Christopher Darden's really good too. I mean, he's good with having to juggle the stuff that he's juggling, and it just shows you, like, because if you're just watching it, when I was like 15, I was 15 years old when, maybe 16 when The Verdict went down. I just remember, oh man, Christopher Darden, that old sellout ass motherfucker. But they plan that he's being portrayed as a guy who's just kind of stuck in the middle. He's obviously, I don't think he's an Uncle Tom. He's just a dude that had to do his job, and he was put in a certain predicament. And yeah, it's really a good show. It's definitely got some good acting going on in it, and I like it. But back to UFC. So I'm watching. I saw the undercards last night, and then so I just wanted to focus on the Miesha Tate Holly Holm fight, and I watched that. And Miesha Tate, I didn't know this last night, but Miesha Tate came into the octagon with Katy Perry's Roar blasting. And I was like, all right, Roar, because I got the eye of the tiger. So she was coming out to that, and I was like, oh, okay. But if you pay attention, if you listen to the lyrics, it's actually, this song is apropos to what she's supposed to be doing. She's supposed to be, you know, doing her thing. And she came out, I was like, damn, did she have this fight won already? Because when she was coming in, she was singing to the lyrics. She was, you know, doing her thing. And, you know, they were kind of feeling each other out the first couple few rounds, and she got her on the ground and just, you know, made her, you know, and she won two ground and pound defeats, if you will. Fantastic. It was fun. It was worth it. I would say it was worth the money. You didn't have to go anywhere. You just drop your coin, and it's really cool how you can do all this stuff now. I mean, you don't really have to go, because there's so many movies that come out. Oh my God, I'm skipping. I should not. All right. On UFC 196, Refocus, episode 159 of the Mundane Festival with your host, Chris Lamberth. Okay, so UFC 196. So now people are saying Ronda Rousey might come back sooner because she thinks she can beat. She's beat Miesha Tate before. So maybe she's going to come back and try to win again. I don't know what's going on, what's going to happen. But, you know, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that, with the aftermath of this. Because, you know, some people are saying now Ronda Rousey might come back so she can easily beat. She thinks she can easily beat Tate. But she didn't want to come back and do a rematch with Holly Holm. It seems like the turnaround for these UFC matches come pretty quick. Like Holly Holm just fought. Which one was that? Rousey. Let's see, Rousey. I'm working with one hand, guys. Rousey Holm. When was that? Miesha Tate. No, I don't want to see that. Holly Holm. So that was UFC 193. So maybe 3 months ago? I guess that's 90 days? I don't know. I'm not good at... I don't know how often they... Okay, so here we go. Rousey versus Holm was a mixed martial arts event held on November. So November, December, January, February, March. So that's 4 months. 4 months in between fights. So I guess that's good enough. It just seems a lot faster than boxing. So we'll see. We'll see if Ronda Rousey comes back and fights. You know, people are kind of, you know, poo-pooing that, but we'll see. And hopefully Holly Holm will be back. These folks just, sometimes they lose. I mean, the really good ones only have a handful of losses anyway. I mean, it doesn't make them bad fighters, but I think people are just saying that because Rousey might be afraid to fight Holm again. So we'll see. And I want to see Ronda Rousey come back. You know, when you want to see these great fighters come back and stuff. So who knows? Maybe I'll get the next one. 197. Who's in UFC 197? That looks, let's see. UFC 197. That's the guy that got in trouble. John Jones and Cormier. Cormier versus Jones 2. And that's in April. So that looks good. Those guys talk a lot of shit. You know, I think the NFL would be so much more fun if players could talk shit about each other more without getting in trouble. If, like I said, no, I think this guy sucks. Like if Tom Brady said that, J.J. Watt? Like I just think J.J. Watt sucks. And J.J. Watt's, oh, you think I suck? I'm gonna fucking tear your head off. Like that. Like the stuff that they say behind closed doors. I know those players say that, but if they could say that in these press conferences and when they get interviewed, it would be so much more fun. More fun than it already is. It's just like the NFL's just stripped the fun out of everything. So we'll see, man. We'll see how that zone goes, young. You know, I might do it if it's a decent price and I have the money. I might splurge and watch it and just make sure I take a nap before the fight, because it does come on at 10. And I've noticed that if I'm not out doing something or at a show, my ass will just fall asleep on a Saturday night. And I have no shame about that. It is what it is, because I've been working so hard, and that's just what it is. That's just what it is, man. So then Conor McGregor, the McGregor-Diaz fight, you know, it looked like, you know, McGregor was just beating the shit out of him, but the way the announcers would tell it, you know, Diaz, he usually gets really bloody no matter what, even if he's winning because of his, I guess he's been hit so many times in the eye. And so that was another. So that was I think that was the second round. But he just beat the shit out of Conor McGregor. He stung him a few times and got him on the ground. And once he got him on the ground, that was it, man. And it was just, I guess that's why they call it ground and pound. Like that's the thing. They just hurt each other. So that might be the new thing, man. Everybody's into this. I remember 10 years ago, one of my good buddies in grad school was really into it. And they used to be, oh, this might have been shit. I don't even know. God, what would it have been back then? I don't even know who the guys were. I don't know. But he used to be in it 10 years ago. This was 10 plus years ago. And this was when we were in grad school. So I remember. So, hell, I graduated in 05. So, yeah, it was a long time ago. He was really into it. Now it's hugely popular. And I get it. Watching Kevin Durant, well, he must have got off. If that dude goes to Golden State, that's just going to be a huge problem. Like, that's going to be insane, man. I don't know. I don't think he's playing with Russell Westbrook anymore. Russell Westbrook. I don't know. Those guys, I don't know. that team has underachieved for ever since they lost in the finals like 5 years ago or whenever. So talked UFC. That video game looks pretty good, man. That I don't know too much about it, about how that would be. I don't know, but it looks fun. Maybe if it comes out on Redbox, I'll rent it and spend a day playing it, and I'll give it a review. Maybe I will. I don't know. But it just looks so much fun. It looks like a good-ass time. What else? Oh, speaking of video games. So last week, I know they had some kind of sale going on in the PlayStation store. Look, guys, if you're members of this PlayStation Plus, if you have a PlayStation Plus thing, I don't know how it is with Xbox because I'm not an elitist. I don't have an Xbox, but no, you're not an elitist if you have a. The only reason I would hate on Xbox users would just be because you guys got the Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider before, even though the fucking game originated on the first PlayStation. And when there was no Xbox around, the game fucking originated on that system, on the very first PlayStation. Yeah, maybe it was on the PC, but for as far as the gaming console, it originated on the PlayStation. I will go to my grave saying that. I don't know why this exclusivity happened, but in the words of the great Kurt Vonnegut, so it goes. So I saw that there was the latest Batman was on sale for like 26 or around 20 bucks. It was like 40% off or something. And I was like, should I get it? And I took it to Facebook, I took it to the nerds on Facebook and they were like, do it. I think somebody said, do you like Batman? Do you want to ride the Batmobile? Do you want to be an extraordinary hero? I mean, what the fuck are you waiting for, Chris? So I downloaded it. I bought it. And I also bought Until Dawn, one of my favorite games of 2015. And that was like 23 bucks because I definitely want to play that game again. Try to save everybody. More importantly, save the black guy. I want the black kid to live through the events of that night in Canada, and that's at that ski house, at that lodge. I want the black guy to survive. Everybody else, the black guy and Hayden Panettiere, if you save those two people, you've done your job. But you mainly got to save Hayden Panettiere. You got to save her character. I was talking to Brandon Collins of the Comedy Outliers podcast, also friend of the show, host of the Medium Popcorn podcast. I was talking to him and I was like, yeah, you better save. I think he did save her. I was like, all you got to do, save Hayden. Because once the black kid was dead, I was like, all right, I kind of don't give a fuck about anybody else. You kind of want to save the nerdy guy, too. You know, all the archetypes, whatever, but I was glad that, I'm really glad that I saved her. Until Dawn, like I've said this months before, that it's a terrific game. It's fun. It's just a fun game. And I've got some kind of Jason serial killer horror movie game where you could play the killer and you kill people. I guess that's kind of like a knockoff version of that. I forget the name of it, but I think it's like a third person type thing or something. I don't know. So I download those two games. Haven't played them yet. I want to obviously play it Until Dawn, and I haven't played Arkham before, but I'm going to. So I was online on playing PlayStation I didn't really play much. Yes. I didn't play yesterday. I was just looking up something. And so I see these, this beta version. They have a beta version of, Uncharted 4, which they pushed back. They pushed it back like 10 days. I think it's coming out in May. It's supposed to drop April 26th, I believe. And they pushed it back to May 10th. Oh, so that's only like a couple weeks. That game, that trailer looks amazing. The homie Brian McGinnis sent me he had a Facebook post of the trailer and he tagged me in and he was like, Chris Lambert, you don't have to ask if this game is going to be any good. Just buy it. And I look, and it, he, it was the trailer and I was just blown away. I saw some of the gameplay, footage of it and it looks great. I mean, these are the guys that made The Last of Us. And, you know, after that track record, I'm going to have to, that's going to be a, that probably would be one of the next games that I buy. If I get anything, because it's like, that's the thing that would tide me over for Tomb Raider, you know? And then the Division is out, is coming out on Tuesday. That looks great. I played the, I don't know if I told you guys, but I did play the beta that dropped. At one point, I thought like you had to pre-order it or something. And I was talking to a comic. Mike Brown was telling me, yeah, you had to do all this, this, and this. And then I get home, I think it was like Sunday night at like after midnight, they sent me an email with the code and I downloaded that shit and I played it for about a good hour. It's pretty fun. It's a good game. But it just, it seems a little, some of these games with the shooting, it just seems a little too much, like a little too intense. Like if Lara Croft can take out a shit ton of guys with her guns, why can't this one dude with this high power, all this high power, weaponry, you know, you get hit a couple times and you're dead and you have to start all the way fucking over. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I guess they know what they're doing. They're the developers. So I guess they know what the fuck they're doing. So I don't know. I mean, people are going to get that. The nerds are going to be all up on that. That's another game. So that's that. And, I downloaded this, I'll tell you, this is what pissed me off. Okay. So yesterday I downloaded Hitman beta for PS4 and this game, you know, so Hitman, I'm not too familiar with the series. I know of it, never really played any of the games, but you're playing this Hitman, this white dude with a bald head and a barcode on the back of his head. I think they just did a movie about it. They did just make a movie, Hitman Agent 47 or something. So you're doing a training mission where you have to infiltrate this boat, this yacht, and you got to kill a guy, a black guy. They make your training mission, killing a black thief in a Miami Vice suit or whatever. And you have to get on the boat and kill this fucking guy. And you start off. You're in like a sweater and you know, you go on. So you have to enter from the back and like enter from the loading dock and you take out a guy. You can choke him and snap his neck, drag him into the bathroom and put on a disguise. You dress up as a ship worker. And so, okay, you got to think like if you're in disguise, you're going to be amongst your people. You don't have to know everybody, but then they're like, oh, the people with a little circle over their head, they're people that might not know you and might say some shit to you. So you have to figure out. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, so I'm walking and that guy sees me. Then I have to kill him and two or three other people. And then the police come looking for you. Security comes looking for you. And you can take a security guard out and put his clothes on, But it's like, I don't really get the point of that when every time you change your outfit, somebody's still going to notice you. And maybe I'm slow and I don't get it, but why are you making that so hard? It's a training mission. And there was a point where I actually fucking killed the guy and I thought I killed him and got off the boat and then the fucking cop shot me. And I think I might have been dressed up as a cop. I don't know. Maybe that game's not for me and I'm not good at it. But I like that. But I'm going to say, like, I'm a dude that I've finished a few games in my day. You know, I'm not the best gamer. I'm essentially a novice, but I finished, like, I beat The Last of Us on normal. You know, it took me a long time, but I did it and I'm proud of myself that I finished that game, you know, but then there's a series, a YouTube channel, I think it's called React or something. And it had like young people playing The Last of Us and how they reacted to the game. I watched it. I watched most of it. Then I think I skipped to the end to where they beat it and stuff. But, you know, then that just shows you that how old was I when I beat it? Like 32, 33 years old beating that game as opposed to young kids, you know, fucking beating it. Anyway, So I don't know. Like, I know it's beta, but it's like, so there's one point where you go up into the kitchen and there's a guy he's a ship employee, and you can throw something at him. You can knock him in the head or choke him out and dump him in the freezer, and you put on his uniform. So you kill the guy unnoticed and you put his uniform on. And as soon as you walk outside, people notice you. They're like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? I mean, like, they're not going to notice a bald dude with a barcode on the back of his fucking head. You know, it's annoying. And then they kill me. So I don't get to do anything in stealth. I don't get it. Maybe I'm just not good at that game. And then I look at the trailer. It looks all sexy, and you're going to all these exotic locales, and it's cool, and it's, you know, one of the best games that I ever played, Vice Magazine. It's just like, well, geez, can I, you know? I don't know. God. Maybe I'll look at a YouTube clip of that training level. I mean, I don't know. It just frustrates me, and I cut the thing off. You know, it really chapped my ass. You guys, I'm telling you, folks. So I had a I went off on a fucking video game. So yeah, I would guess. I guess, you know, I'm gonna play this Batman and see how that is. And I never finished any of the other ones I played. Because I bought, like, Arkham City, played it for 15, 20 minutes, and never really played it again. But you can't pass up $20 for a game, you know? So last week, I guess, what did I do last week? I had a couple auditions that were, you know, auditioning is just, it's just a part of the job, you know? And it's like, you go on these auditions, and there was one like really big audition in front of a huge casting director, just fucking major. And it was dope that they wanted to see me, and the casting director was dope. And the project that it was for are by like some of my favorite young, newish filmmakers. And I was like, fuck, that's so dope. And so, like, I'm excited for the thing, and I'm not really nervous. I'm just going to do what I do, whatever, fucking do what I do. I'll probably tell more of the story later, but I go in there, maybe at a later time, but I go in, and I thought I was going to be standing up. I was going to do all this stuff. Wasn't really going to do anything too crazy, but they're just like, oh, just sit down in a chair. And the line, I felt like I wouldn't be sitting down while I'm saying it, not to be like an arrogant asshole actor, but just like, it's my character was supposed to be cutting the grass, and they told me to sit down. So maybe I'm in a riding lawnmower, I don't know, but it was just like, sit down in the chair and okay, whenever you're ready. And I say the line, and that was it. So show business, guys. And so just comedy was good. I did a show, If You Build It. Shout out to Kara Klink, who books that show. She's now in L.A., I believe, and she's booking it from L.A., but she had a guest host. She used to host it, and Mike Kaplan happened to host the show that I was on. It was fun. I went up first, and I don't know. This was Oscar Sunday, and if you want to get me talking Oscars, I did that with my good buddy JL Covan, and we broke it down. So that's on his podcast, The Righteous Prick, and it's all there. It's on the Facebook page. It's on the show, my podcast Facebook page, so you can check that out on iTunes and Stitcher and all that good stuff. And I believe Podomatic also. So did that, and did that show, and it was fun. Worked on some new stuff, which was cool. And I had done that the night before. I was a little apprehensive the night before when I did Shtick a Pole in it with Dan Goodman and oh my God, Joanna Ross did that show, and I just tried to carry some of the stuff over from last night, and it was pretty good. I'm getting to the point now where some people, if you talk about something that's touchy. And I'll go to my grave saying this. At least I'm at the point now where I don't see myself as an edgy comedian. I'm just like a funny guy, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm edgy and the things that I say on stage are just too real. I'm not that dude, but some things that I say, I think some people are scared to laugh at. And I don't know. I wasn't on my Jeb Bush, like, please laugh, please clap. But I was like, yo, come on, you guys can take that. That's not a bad, you guys get it. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. That happened like a couple nights ago too. So I did that show and that was fun. Then I took like a 5-minute walk to Rockwood Music Hall on the Lower East Side. And my good buddy Scott Stanglin, friend of the podcast, was playing in a band called Youth in a Roman Field. And I'll read you a little blurb. Why don't I just read you a blurb about this group? Here we go. Youth in a Roman Field is the chamber folk project. It's the chamber folk project of singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Claire Wellen. Frequent collaborators include Tiffany Topol, Scott Stanglin, friend of the podcast, Cassie Sturtz, Katrina Link, friend of the podcast, and Jamie Mohamdin. Their debut album Of Grit and Grace was released in May 2012, and the EP Suits for Children was released in October 2014. Originally out of Chicago, they are currently making a home in New York City. So I went to go see them. Never really heard of chamber folk music, but my goodness, they were fucking great. And Katrina was also there. Claire Wellen. I had met Claire at Katrina's Moxie Fink show last year, maybe around. They did it at the Bowery Poetry Club, maybe around like March or April of last year, about a year ago. And super talented people. And it was just amazing. Like the instruments, the harmonies. Like, they started off the show really like a cappella, and it was so fucking beautiful. Part of me wanted to record it and put like a snippet on Instagram, but I didn't want to look like a douche and be like, ooh. But I saw somebody doing the same fucking thing that I wanted to do. It's usually when I go to shows, I'll try to take a couple minutes and then, like, you know, do a little blurb. Look at the cool place that I was at and the cool band that I was fucking looking at. So I wanted to do it, but I didn't. They were terrific. I had a blast checking them out. And so I would say I went onto their Bandcamp and bought their catalog, which was really, if you buy everything, it's $7.50. It's one of those pay what you the base starts at $7.50, and you could pay more if you want, and you get Of Grit and Grace, and you get the Suits for Children EP, and then there's a song called Waves that's there too. So you get all that for like $7.50. You could check out the Bandcamp page, see if you like it. They got videos. There's a website, youthinaromanfield.com. It's terrific. I really enjoyed it. That was a perfect night, really. That was like a dope-ass fucking New York City night. The only thing, I had to go to work the next day, and usually I don't work on Mondays, but like I got to work tomorrow. So it goes. I did it for myself. Did it, whatever. Not too much behind the curtain. Yeah, but that would have been a dope night to just be like, not to go out, and I wanted to hang out more, but I couldn't. But it was fun. Youth in a Roman Field, check them out. While we're on music, I'll say the new Kendrick Lamar came out, Unmastered, an Untitled Unreleased, I believe it's called. And I guess it's a bunch of, it's like eight songs, a little under 40 minutes. And it's songs that he's done on like a couple of the songs. One of the songs he did on the Colbert Report, like the very last one. And then just some other shows that he may have done. And then there's some you never really heard before until LeBron James supposedly told the Top Dog folks to release it, and they did. So that was a nice little surprise. It's always dope when a relevant artist puts something out like that, like a little surprise ditty, a little surprise drop, or somebody that you like. You know, I'm a Kendrick fan. You know, I would say that I was even a hipster about him. So that makes me pretty fucking cool. What else? Yes, that was great. And then I bought the new Esperanza Spalding album, Emily's Devolution. And if you remember her, she won the Grammy for Best New Artist in 2011, beating out Justin Bieber of all people. And people were mad as fuck at her. And, but she won, I think she won like three Grammys. She's a three-time Grammy winner. And she's terrific. She's definitely one of those artists that I would love to see live. Like, that, I make it a point to try to see her live because she's really great. So that's music for you. We did some video games. We did some music. Let's do some movies. And I think we'll get out of here after that, you guys. You know, we're 41 minutes in, almost 42 minutes strong into this thing. Let's do, you know what, before movies, dude, I know I'm super behind on this, but I got into Serial, the podcast. Oh my God, like season one of Serial, like I get what everybody was raving over. Like it was just, it's so compelling. And I know you, most of you people are, most of you probably already know the story. I want to see if I can get how. Okay, let's do this. Okay, so I'll talk, just give you a brief little thing on season one. Season one investigated the 1999 murder of Haemin Lee, an 18-year-old student at Woodlawn High School in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. She was last seen about 3 p.m. on January 13th, 1999. Her corpse was discovered on February 9th in Leakin Park and identified 2 days later. The case was immediately treated as a homicide. Lee's ex-boyfriend, Adnan Masood Syed, was arrested on February 28th at 6 a.m. and charged with first-degree murder, which led to some closure and some peace for Lee's family. A memorial for Lee was held on March 11th at Woodlawn High School. Syed's first trial ended in a mistrial, but after a six-week second trial, Syed was found guilty of Lee's murder on February 25th, 2000, and given a life sentence despite pleading his innocence. Syed did not speak in front of the jury. In February 2015, three weeks after the end of Season 1, the Maryland Court of Special Appeals filed a decision allowing Syed's appeal to his conviction on grounds of his attorney, Christina Gutierrez, had provided ineffective counsel. All right, so this is just a lot of shit and stuff. February 9th, 2015, Scott Pelley of CBS News reported Serial Season 1 episodes had been downloaded more than 68 million times. By February 6, 2016, the episodes had been downloaded over 80 million times. And it's hosted, the host is Sarah Koenig, and she's so fucking good. Like, she's a reporter, but just her vocally, the way she tells this story, like, you really don't know. Like, it's like basically trying to say, did this guy do it? You know, is there reason why he didn't do it? And she even wavers. So the fact that she's, you know, reporting this story, she's like, oh, I think he did it. Oh, I don't know. Did he do it? And it's just really, it's really great storytelling, and it's so compelling. Like, I was so engrossed because normally now I don't go into work on Mondays, and I was doing something. I was working, and I was like, you know what? And the homies, the three guys on, they weren't on last week. And I was like, okay, nothing I really listen to is new that I listen to on a regular basis is new this week yet. And I was like, you know what? I got all these Serial episodes banked. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what everybody was, you know, so psyched about. Let me see if this junk is really what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? What everybody getting psyched over. Man, y'all were right. Like, I don't know, man. Like, so I need to talk about it with somebody. I don't know, like, did Adnan do? Because, like, she talks to the dude. Like, she talks to him, and she's like, I don't know. Like, because she's like, if I was doing it, she's like, man, I don't know if he did this junk. You know, she ain't say it like that, but, you know, she was just like, I don't know. And it's wild, man. It's really good, and it's just the shit that happened. Like, I know people are just kind of get off on these murder shows. Like, people actually lost lives and families were, you know, torn apart by this type of shit. And hold on a second, you guys. All right, I'm back. When your mom calls, you have to answer it, no matter what it is. Okay, so Serial, it's hell of a show. America, everybody was right about this thing, and I'm just catching up. I haven't, but yeah, the family's getting torn apart from this shit. So people actually, this is the same thing as making a murderer. Like, it's really fucked up what happened, and then, you know, everybody gets their shits and giggles off. But damn, if Adnan didn't do it, who did it? You know, like, it's, I don't know, it's pretty insane, man. So I highly recommend it if you haven't. It's easy to binge on. I pretty much finish all the episodes in one day. Like, I work long, long hours, so it was easy for me to just kind of breeze through most of them through work and then go into the gym after work and listen to it, so... what else? So movies, let's do movies and we'll get the heck out of here. I went and saw, Eddie the Eagle, which was, I saw this movie before, a show at Levity. I had a show at Levity on Thursday, Levity Live. And this was the only movie playing. And it wasn't like, you know, I saw the trailer and I said, okay, yeah, you know, it's something I would see. And would probably, it's one of those sports movies, and it would probably, you know, make me cry or something or get me emotional. And there were definitely points. Because I'm at a place in my life. It just so happened I was in a particular place, and stuff was going on in my life. And I'm watching them, and then I watch the movie because everybody brings their baggage to their art, you know, to when they go to the movies, when they go to the plays, you bring your stuff to your art as a performer, you know, whatever, but you definitely bring your baggage, your life experiences to, when you sit down in a movie theater and watch a movie. And so it was a certain moment that hit me and I was just like, oh God. And I didn't like, I was alone in a movie theater, and the AMC at the Palisades Mall, they have the new reclining seats they remodeled within the last year or so. And I was like fully reclined back and like my eyes getting watery and I'm just sitting there. And it's a good movie. I'll read you the blurb about it. Here we go. Cut from the Olympic ski team. British athlete Michael Eddie Edwards travels to Germany to test his skills at ski jumping. Fate leads him to Bronson Perry, a former ski jumper who now works as a snowplow driver. Impressed by Edwards' spirit and determination, Perry agrees to train the young underdog. Despite an entire nation counting him out, Eddie's never-say-die attitude takes him all the way to a historic and improbable showing at the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary, Alberta. and it stars Taron Egerton as Eddie the Eagle and Hugh Jackman as his trainer. This kid, Taron Egerton, is a talented dude because he was in Kingsman. The first time I remember seeing him was in Kingsman, The Secret Service. And he was good. Like, he just played a young, like a street tough. He was like a street tough, and he becomes this agent and, you know, starts whooping people's ass and, you know, fun action movie type deal. Smooth, good actor. And then he's playing this guy, like kind of nerdy, guy that's like a little bit off in some regard. Almost on like a, like high functioning. The way I ain't even going to say. He just looked, he was a different dude, basically. And he became that character, and he was really good in it. And there were some really compelling moments. This is a movie that, I would say maybe you'd see it at a matinee if you could. You could just wait till it comes on Netflix or like on demand or something and rent it or Redbox. Good, solid ass movie. I will say that, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was worth the money. Good movie. And there's obviously it's based on a true story. I don't know how much dramatic liberty they took, but it just seemed like there was more than meets the eye. Obviously, it's based on a true story, but they probably took some liberties that were not that things that didn't happen in real life. Anyway, solid movie, Eddie the Eagle. Then Friday, I was on my way. I had a show at the Comedy Shop in Mount Arlington, New Jersey, which is in Western New Jersey, like I guess you could say Northwestern New Jersey. Like if you go further, maybe like an hour further, you end up in Eastern Pennsylvania. So I went to the movie theaters. I went to the movie theater at the AMC in Rockaway. This podcast should low key be sponsored by AMC. Like I mention AMC all the time, and yeah, man, they should sponsor this show. And it was, I went to see Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, the new Tina Fey movie. And I enjoyed it, man. Like I was kind of excited to see it. I'm a Tina Fey fan. I've been down with her. I mean, I liked her on Saturday Night Live, but I'm, you know, became more of a fan with her from 30 Rock. And I'll read you the blurb about this. In 2002, cable news producer Kim Barker decides to shake her routine by taking a daring new assignment in Kabul, Afghanistan. Dislodged from her comfortable American lifestyle, Barker finds herself in the middle of an out-of-control war zone. Luckily, she meets Tanya Vanderpool, Margot Robbie, yes, a fellow journalist who takes the shell-shocked reporter under her wing. Amid the militants, warlords, nighttime partying, Barker discovers the key to becoming a successful correspondent. I don't know how true that was that Margot Robbie's character took her under her wing, but you could take it for what it's worth after you see it, you know, if you decide to see it. So this is based on the Kim Barker's memoir called The Taliban Shuffle, Strange Days in Afghanistan and Pakistan. I like the movie, man. And I didn't know this after reading it, after seeing it, read this article from Ann Hornaday of the Washington Post talking about the whitewashing that happens in the movies and everything. Like, that's whitewashing has been going on for a while. Alfred Molina, who's a British actor, played a Muslim character. Let me see if I can see the cast. Who did he play? He played Ali Mossad Sadiq, who was like a prime minister of some kind, I believe. And yeah, he normally plays ethnically ambiguous, ethnically diverse people, kind of like Ben Kingsley does. I saw this movie. He's in this movie called Learning to Drive with Patricia Clarkson, and he's playing some kind of Muslim dude, and he's British. Like, they couldn't get an older Muslim dude to play. Whatever, man. That's what they've been doing. You know, like, that's what they did with Aloha. I mentioned that last week. They did that with Aloha. They did it with, like, the Chiwetel playing some dude named Kapoor in The Martian when they couldn't get Cal Penn or Aziz didn't want to do it. And they just keep doing this shit. And it's like now more people on social media are just like vigilant. They're vigilantes. They're like, you're doing this, you're whitewashing. We're going to get to that a little later. We're going to get to some more of that. But the surprise to me was Christopher Abbott, who is a white dude from Connecticut. He played a character named Fahim Amadazi or whatever. And he was basically Tina Fey's guide. Like, he took her around and was an interpreter. I guess basically kind of like a Sherpa in a way, but he was also, you know, part of the press or whatever. I guess, yeah, he was her Sherpa, whatever, her guide, if you will. And I thought that was a Muslim dude, but I looked it up. They're like, oh, Christopher Abbott played da 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 da. And Tina Fey was catching flack, and she kind of passed it off on the casting director, I guess. And she was like, well, you know, I was going to get in trouble. All this going to come on down on me and not the casting director. I was like, but yo, isn't it your movie? Can't you have say on whatever, whatever? I don't know. But this motherfucker was good. Like, he disappeared behind that role. And this dude is from Connecticut. He's from Greenwich, Connecticut. And this Bama was in Girls. He played Marnie's boyfriend in Girls. And I looked, I was like, oh, shit. Like, this dude was, I thought he was great. Like, I think he had probably one of the better roles that wasn't like Tina Fey or like Mark or like fucking Martin Freeman and shit. So I was blown away by his performance because I didn't know that he was a white dude. White dude playing Fahim. But he was great. And low-key, he could have low-key got a nomination last year. If this movie came out September of last year, he probably could have got a nomination, you know? So it was a good movie. Like, the whitewashing thing, man, that's been around for ages, and I don't know if it's going to go away, but I hope it does, and I hope it gives more actors of color to perform. Like, yo, this Nina Simone thing, man. My God, with Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone, it doesn't look right. It looks really bad. It looks horrendous. Like, there's no way she should be playing. Well, the makeup that she had was just like, it looked like if you were doing a sketch, if it was supposed to be like, and that was the only person you could get, and then the person that did her makeup just made her look darker. And, like, Zoe Saldana's not, like, a light... She ain't really light-skinned, but she's, like, a... She's, like, a cocoa-complected chick. She's Dominican, I believe, but she looks nothing like Nina Simone. It was, like, one of them VH1 movies where they just get people, like, what was the Bobby Brown movie that they... The Bobby and Whitney movie that was... It was a Whitney movie, but it was really the Bobby Brown story. And nobody looked like anybody. Like, the chick that played Whitney Houston looked like Whitney, but kind of like everybody else looked bad. Like, the Aaliyah movie they were shitting on, that wasn't very good. The casting wasn't good at all. And it was just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? It looked really bad. I still want to see the shit because it's coming out on demand. And if I could pay $8 or $9 to see that shit show, I'll see it. I'll watch it just to see what's going on. Like, people hate watch the Aaliyah movie, or people watch the TLC joint was all right. Like the chick that played Left Eye, Little Mama was good in that movie. Yeah, just it was just kind of like that is just a blatant misstep. Like it just looks really bad. I'm still going to see it though, and I think they're going to make more. They make a bulk of their money off the people that just want to see this train wreck. And then you just got a great actor like David Oyelowo in it. I don't know what he plays, her houseboy or medic or something. I don't know. It doesn't look good at all. If you really want to know about Nina Simone, you watch that Netflix doc, What Happened, Miss Simone. That's what you watch. But, you know, they could have got that girl from that played the lead in Pariah. They could have got Leslie Jones, some people said, and some people said Lauryn Hill. But that was just a blatant misstep, and it just looks bad, so bad. But, you know, I watched the trailer. I was like, oh, God. And people, Black Twitter was upset. They were not having it, folks. So, yeah, man, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, I liked it. The homie Christopher Abbott laid it down. He laid it down. I thought he killed that shit. He killed it so hard. I didn't even know that dude was a white guy. And he had some great moments in that movie. And he have come to find out that nigga was Marnie's boyfriend on Girls. So good on him. The only way I could really hate on him was the fact that he is dating Olivia Cooke from Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. And I would say, you know, this story, it kind of reminds me of that movie. Like I could see the parallels where, you know, I could find the fault. You can easily find the faults in a movie like this. But if you just follow the story, because it's easy, just like, all right, like Me and Earl, white boy coming of age story, angsty, mopey ass white boy. But it's still like a really good movie, and you have some really good supporting characters. I think that's what this has. Like, it's not like, you know, it's like Tina Fey's character, Tina Fey as Kim Barker, is going through a change in her life. She finds out, finds a real passion, and she's doing her thing, and she's trying to evolve. I think it actually passes the Bechdel test. Like, there's women in the scene talking about a dude, but the movie's not really about a dude, even though towards the end the movie tries to become a romantic comedy, which I think it was fine, because it kind of takes a turn that if you're just invested in the story, just like, oh, that's neat that happened. And then they're going in this direction. So I didn't really have a problem with it. But it's a big Hollywood picture, and you're definitely going to see romance come or characters to have love interests. It's okay for that to happen, you know, but it was what she decided. She decided to make, to have a relationship, you know. I don't know, but there's definitely some flaws in this movie, but overall it's a good movie, and it's one of those movies I would say, you might could throw Eddie the Eagle in the joint too, in the way that it's just like a solid, really solid early in the year type movie. Like, and I think that started with Hail Caesar. I think, you know, you got, which was just a solid movie, that I think maybe got sized a little more than it deserved credit for. But solid movie, Eddie the Eagle, and then Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, man. Like, the Tina Fey and her crew, Robert Carlock, is directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. And you got Ian Bruce, Tina Fey, and Lauren Michaels producing. Robert Carlock, you know, who's her partner. I fucked with it, man. I enjoyed it. It was a good way to start off a weekend for me, like doing a show. And shout out to the Comedy Shop crew, James DiBenedetto and Joe Conti. Like, I had a fucking blast. It was in a Courtyard Marriott. The show was in a Courtyard Marriott in Mount Arlington. And it had a good time, man. Open for Rob Falcone. So let me give you some dates. Let me give you some dates where I'm going to let you know where I'm going to be. You know, I had this queued up, but I think we're good. Okay, tomorrow, Monday, March 7th, I'll be at Bunga's Den at 8 p.m. March 9th, the day that Biggie died, I'll be at the Standing Room in Long Island City, New York. Cool show alert. March 10th, I'll be, not that all the show, that not that on, this is the only show, cool show, but it's really an interesting concept. If I could fucking give you, okay. The show is called Low Standards, and it's at Videology in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, right? Not far from the Williamsburg Bridge, I believe, but it's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It's a show called Low Standards where they have a few comics on. You do a set, and then you talk about a movie that's kind of like your guilty pleasure. And this will be interesting for me because I don't really have any guilty pleasures. There's just movies that I like. And then I think you pick a couple scenes and then they interview you about the movie. So I chose Bring It On, and that's the movie I'm going to talk about, and they'll interview me about it. If I can get good audio of it, I will make it like a little bonus episode, and when I'll, you know, make it a little treat for you guys. So if I'm able to do that, I will make that happen. And March 11th, really, really excited about this. I'll be at the High Mud Comedy Festival in North Adams, Massachusetts at 8 o'clock p.m. I got that at 7, but it's at 8 on the calendar. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tig Notaro is going to be headlining on Saturday. The night that I'm there, it's going to be Sean Patton, who's a terrific comic. It's going to be a bunch of comics there, so it's going to be fun. I know I'm doing... the show at Mass Mocha, and then there's little satellite shows later on in the evening. So I'm super excited about that. This is, and if you're tracking my career, this would be the first time that I'm doing a festival where I didn't have to pay an entry fee. They invited me, and they're supposedly giving me a place to stay, and they may feed me. There's talk of them feeding the comics, and I'm getting a little money for it. So it'll be fun. I'm excited. The Berkshires are nice. I had a great time last year performing up there on the 10x10 comedy festival. So I'm excited about that. And March 17th, I'll be at the Arts Quest Center at Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, headlining the Two Laugh Minimum show. That's on the 17th at 8 o'clock PM. And then March 25th, I'll be at Characters Restaurant in Sloatsburg, New York at 9 o'clock p.m. That's always a fun show. And I'll give you an April date. April Fool's Day. I'll be at Memphis Maze at Croton on Hudson at 9 o'clock p.m. So those are some dates. More dates are on chrislamberth.com. Thank you guys for listening to episode 159, and I will talk to you next time. Peace. Talk to you.